Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Open Tuesday Night Call. It is June 3rd, 2014. Hard to believe we're in summertime, Jesse.
Kids, it is, isn't it?
A lot of them are out of school already, and people are on vacation. It's hard to believe we've moved this quick, but here we are.
It is. Quickly. God, this summer's going by fast. It's already June.
Yeah, and before you know it, it'll be like, wow, I can't believe the 4th of July was 2 weeks ago. You know,
right?
Don't blink three times or we'll lose it.
Yeah.
That seems to be the way things are. But anyway, big welcome to everybody tonight. I'll let Jesse do the little disclaimer that we do, and then we will proceed on to what good news we have. And I actually have just a little bit myself. So
good for you. Well, again, welcome everybody. Of course, tonight we're going to have a lot of fun discussing legal information, but none of it should be taken as legal advice. We're not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys. And if you want legal advice, you're going to have to go see an attorney because we don't know exactly what the hell it is. But I don't think anybody does, to be truthful with you. But welcome to the call for the new guys and the old regulars. That's our disclaimer. You want legal advice, go find it somewhere else. That's about it.
That's exactly how it works. I mean, it's real simple, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say.
If you want legal advice, go find an attorney because you aren't going to find legal advice here. At least I'm surely not going to be giving any to anybody.
Well, we have no idea how to do it, so it's irrelevant.
No. Good evening, Sir John. Good evening, Terry.
Hello.
Wow, what a nice
evening. Still
trying
to find Larry and Jeff. I don't see them yet. They must have had dessert with dinner tonight, but I'm sure they'll join us post haste. I did get one thing done today. I actually got the paperwork yesterday, but Jesse, believe it or not, I had to wait a month to get the citation for my small claims case to serve to Midland, my third one, from the time I filed.
Last night. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
For small claims.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got a lot of noise in the background, big time. But
that's absolutely absurd.
Well, yeah, they said they had personnel problems, but I'd been up there Tuesday of last week right after Memorial Day, and they said they didn't have it done. It was right in the gal's desk. Well, when I went up there yesterday, she said, well, it's still on her desk. And I gently let her know, the gal that waits on me, you know, she's always busy. I mean, she's just hopping all the time anytime I'm there. But I let her know that it was no longer acceptable for me not to have my paperwork, and I did get it, and today it went off in the mail to the process server, so hopefully on Friday Midland will be served with their third lawsuit.
Yeah, you know the way that works. The greasy wheel, or the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. You know how bad I am with those damn things.
Well, you know, I was nice, but I let's say I was diplomatic, and well, I think that's a good way to do things. Actually, I mean, you know, you try and beat people up too much, and you know, all it's going to do is get their hackles up, and then you don't get anywhere, in my view. But either way, I got it done. That's fine. Still don't have a signature by the judge on the offer of judgment in the other case, but you know, that's life. But I have gotten some more phone calls. Portfolio Recovery just keeps wanting to ring my phone 30 some times now. I don't know, it's just what do you do with people like that, Jesse?
Nothing. Threw the crap out of them.
Your second statement was the answer I was looking for.
Sue them.
Just sue them. I mean,
that's
you
right.
Know,
assume.
I've got a lot of litigation going right now, so that I have to. I can't go out and sue everybody right now, but it's a situation where they'll get their turn. But if they keep calling me
right.
in the meantime, you know, and I answer and there's nobody there. It's the same thing that happened with Midland and with Diversified Consultants. It's crazy, but what do I know? So anyway.
You get a bunch of money and you're happy.
Yeah. Well, I'll have a lot more. I'll have a lot more before that's done. And, that's what we do. We make people accountable for their actions, do we not?
That's it.
Yep.
I have a whole hell of a lot of fun doing it, too. So.
Yes. Well, did you have some good news you wanted to spill here to really get things rolling? And
I think most people have heard it, have they not, that I've won three trials in a row this year, all three of them. The last two trials were involuntary dismissals by the court because they never proved their case. They never made their prima facie case in court. And the last one was an voluntary dismissal because we were going to depose the signers and expose their nonsense for what it is. And as usual, that's the kind of stuff that makes them run. Now, with that being said, I'm going to take one of these cases, it's 6 years worth of a case, and put it all together. It's going to take a little while to get it done. As soon as Terry wraps up with the What Lies in Your Credit Report, I'm going to go ahead and do like almost like a foreclosure bash two, except this is 6 years worth of documents and motions and discovery material and arguments. And, you know, I'm going to show you guys, in the end, 6 years worth of work on three different places took care of business. It's that simple. It's just preparation is really what it boils down to, and getting them in the right spot. So that, and I got a bunch of money in a TCPA case. But that check ain't due till the 16th. I think the 16th. So we'll see. And you know the way they'll do that, Dave, because it's such a large check, they'll go ahead and drag their feet on it.
Yeah, but boy, that'll be a real goodie when you get it.
Yeah, what difference does it make what day you cash it?
No. I don't care. I told everybody that's just money in the bank, and that's what it is, whether I have it now or not. I mean, you know, pretty large. Largest one I've ever seen on the site. I've heard of bigger ones, but I've never seen the actual proof. And I'm gonna put my money where the mouth is, you know? So you guys will keep your eyes open for that one. I think I'm going to do a whole separate webinar on the TCPA and how to just make money with the TCPA. It's there's many ways to do it, and I don't think a lot of people are taking advantage of it. And in today's day and age, cell phones are the rage. You know what I mean? That's what everybody wants to blow up is that cell phone.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
telling you, I made almost twice what the average American makes working all year long. So, in
that
about
was on
five
one
or
lawsuit.
6 hours. Huh?
That was on one lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah. That was on one. And, you know, this year it's well over six figures just on the lawsuits on TCPA and FDCPA and FCCPA. So, been a hell of a year, but of course I put everything I talk about to work, unlike most people. They don't do a lot of talking, but they don't really put it to work. And, Dave, you had a hell of a good year yourself. So I'm not one to be talking. I'm not special.
Yeah. Well,
I'm definitely not special.
I've had a long year.
Yeah, Terry, yours is going to go, and when it goes, it's going to be bigger than all of ours. So
it's
going to
equal a year.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be, you know, you're hammering it down. So my point is, guys, that if you don't put the tools you have to work, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to see any results, and that's the key, you know, is putting it to work no matter – you know, I always hear people say, oh, I don't have enough time, or when somebody quits the website, oh, it's just my schedule, and I'm thinking, your schedule? Did you make 60, 80, 100 grand last year working 40 hours a week on your schedule? Because I know 99% of everybody I know didn't. So,
well, there's something wrong with that schedule.
Yeah, I said there's something really wrong with your schedule, you know, if you're turning your nose up to that kind of money for about, you know, a tenth of the amount of work or a hundredth, hell, it's nothing that goes into it. I think the TCPA had a total of probably 5 hours total work, and that included the 3 hours in mediation.
Holy cow, I'll trade you.
Yeah, so, you know, I have no pity for people when they say, oh, I don't have the time, right? You know, okay, whatever. You have time to go work for $10 an hour, but you ain't got time to go make $1,000 an hour. Doesn't make any sense to me, you know. But whatever. It's there. I'll show it to you guys when I get the check, and everybody can sit back and go, uh-oh, I better get doing something. That's the goal. So,
thanks to that very nice young lawyer who joined us on Dave's call last night, and he has been on my call a few times. We first met him a few months.
Yeah, seems like a very nice guy, by the way.
Oh, he is. He sent me a case that I had no idea existed. In fact, he did a lot of searching before he found it. But this case was out of the Eastern District of Virginia in 2009, and this is a ruling on the bogus claim of permissible purpose when they try to use the BA-3A as their permissible purpose, and the court clearly states, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the furnishers. It only has to do with the credit reporting agencies because of the word it's, just as I pointed out, and we had no case law to hammer that home. Now we do, and when I went through that case, that order, very carefully, I discovered that that case will be a major hammer, specifically on the junk debt buyers and permissible purpose. So I'm going to incorporate that. We have three episodes left in What Lies in Your Credit Report, and this just kind of came out of the blue here near the end, and it is so important. I'm going to work it in, not next week because that's already been written and sent to Gary, but the week after that, I will go into this whole issue in detail, show you exactly what's in that case, how to use it, and specifically how to bring down those debt buyers pulling your credit with that case. That's my
news. I'm excited. I'm absolutely excited.
Oh, I love it. I couldn't believe it when I was reading it. And he and I were talking in Skype, and he was saying, how can they claim a permissible purpose, Terry? This, that, the other thing, you know. And I pointed out that the debt buyers, they can't possibly. You know why? Because the CFPB said so in that study that they did, Structure of the Debt Buying Industry for 2011, Dave?
2013.
Yeah, well, anyway, they pointed out
the debt buying industry.
That the way it works with debt buyers is they buy a portfolio, which is an electronic spreadsheet. That spreadsheet goes to their computer. Their computer, no humans, no brains, no humans, no living hands touch anything. The computer analyzes the electronic information bought in the spreadsheet. Then the computer flags, let's say there's 3,000 accounts, and the computer picks out 1,000 that look like the most collectible, and they start with those. The next thing the computer will do is generate an order for 1,000 credit pulls, and the computer fills out the form that goes to the CRA. The computer certifies to the CRA that the credit pull is to be used in connection with a credit transaction initiated by that individual. Well, how can a computer have a reason to believe?
Well, and they don't have the documentation that you originated an account.
Because no human is involved, no verification process is involved, and now that we know the purchasing agreements, all their bills of sale, when they're buying all this information, contain quitclaim language. And with quitclaim language, the only reason to believe that the company must have from the get-go is that the probability is very high that at least a substantial portion of the accounts included in that spreadsheet portfolio are going to be problematic in that they will either be non-collectible because of outside statute of limitations, discharged in bankruptcy, wrong individual, et cetera. And they know that from the get-go. But they do not ever run an investigation first before they falsely certify to the credit reporting agencies that the credit pull is in connection with a credit transaction initiated by that person. So I'll go deeper into it when we go over it in the FCRA, but that is just huge.
Yep, that is going to be big, big, big stuff. That is, I didn't get to read all of it, but I did get to read part of it, and that is very, very good material. That's super. And as Terry said, that came from an attorney that has been joining us on our calls. And this is somebody that is actually, he came on and spoke. I don't know who, we're getting some real bad noise out of a mic from one of you guys.
He said, unfortunately, when I was talking to him, I had asked him a question in regard to the S2B, and he was such a nice, and he is such a nice and honest individual, and said that, quite frankly, he's just learning all of this, and he's learning it from us. I mean, there's a flip, you know, but he's not as familiar with the S2B as he is with this issue over BA3A, and he's really been digging into it, you know, the permissible purpose thing. And he said, you are a pioneer in that area, I fear, meaning the S2B. And my answer to that was and is, I don't mind being a pioneer, just so long as I don't have to wallow in too much buffalo poop on the trail.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, we gotta get going on good news here and then get to Q&A. Somebody, one of you guys that's on, one of our moderators, has got some bad noise coming from microphone. And Terry, I think it might be coming from yours because we were getting some bad stuff occasionally when you were talking.
Phone.
It's almost like...
Hold on. Okay, is it making noise still?
No, I think it stopped. So
it might have been that phone
was again.
Off the charger too long today.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute myself anyway.
Okay, well, we'll see. If we still get it, then it's probably Jesse's fault.
Of course,
and
I'm only muted out.
No, I'm muted and I still heard it, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So somebody has got it. I don't know. Jeff, you just came on. I hope it's not yours.
I've been muted the whole time.
Yeah, well, you just came on.
Yeah.
I know.
Me
I
too.
Know that. I just unmuted you. Well, one of us, somebody's got the noise. So, because it's only
us
that's
kicking.
Unmuted.
Yeah, I hear that kicking. It's like a little scratching sound.
Yeah, the squeaking. Yeah. But we were getting some noise when Terry was talking before. Anyway, we are going to go. Let's see what we've got here for good news with people and see what we can pick up here. Let's go to 407. 407. You have been unmuted for good news. 407-973. Speaker, forever hold your peace for good news.
Oh, I had a question. I wasn't going for good news.
Okay.
Did I key in at the wrong time?
Yeah, you got to wait until I call for good news, if everybody would, please. We'll come back to you. All right. All right, let's go to 216 for good news. Area code 216. 216-314 for good news. If we don't have you speak up, we're going to mute you back. All right, we're going to have to do that. I don't know what's with the stuff here tonight. We're still getting this feedback. Let's go to 718 for good news. Anybody that has good news should be hitting 1 on the keypad on their phone. 718, you have been unmuted for good news.
Oh, I just have a question.
Oh, okay. We'll come back to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and we're going to try one more here. 419 for good news. 419.
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you. You got some good news for us?
No, I had some bad news.
Well, we are doing good news right now.
Right.
Okay, so we'll, you wanted to get into Q&A, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
All right,
that's going to be the last of who had their hands raised, and I don't know which one of you guys is. This is getting really interesting here with the noise on the line here.
Is your mute function, David?
Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
I muted everybody. Yeah, I muted everybody but you, and that noise is coming from you.
Oh, that's interesting because I'm on the same phone, and it started after
I
was on.
Yeah, it's not us, it's you. I've muted everybody, Larry, John, me, Terry.
Well, I
Jeff,
was
going to
say, I wonder who was playing with things on the board because I'm going, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was muting
him
to see, so I let you run in, and you're the only one making any noise. So it's got to be you.
And I'm not doing anything different.
I know. Neither are we, though. But there's a bunch of noise in the background, and you're the only one. If I mute everybody, you're the only one left.
We had one. We had 954 that was unmuted, and now it appears
muted Larry.
The sound has stopped.
Yeah, there you go. I just muted Larry.
Yeah, but I'm still here, so it's not me.
No. Somebody was left. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So we're good.
All right. So anyway, we're going to...
We just want a clear recording.
Well, yeah. Oh, we have to have a clear recording.
I appreciate, guys. Just have your patience.
Yep. All right. So anybody that's got questions tonight, now's the time to hit 1 on the keypad on your phone. Now, Jesse, we've got one guy that emailed me. He... has got a situation, and I think that's who we just had on there, and we're going to need to go back to him because he's very limited time, and he asked me if we could see if we could get him in. So I'm going to see if I can find him. The gentleman, there we go. All right, we are going to unmute you. You are unmuted. You have
Thanks, babe.
Yep, you are very welcome. Go ahead.
I had filed an FDCPA case against an attorney, debt collector, and this morning the judge wanted to have a phone conference, and a long story short, it just seemed like everything was one-sided. And
of course.
He basically said... Because the attorney told him that he did obtain verification from the original so-called creditor, and which was nothing more than a letter and a copy of an unsigned bill, and the judge, in the end, stated that he did obtain verification, and he says, I'm going to dismiss this complaint, and you can appeal it or whatever you want, and he hung up.
Yeah,
that's
probably
about
one of the judge's
improper
buddies.
As it gets.
Yeah, but let's look at this. What are you suing for, and why does verification play a part in it? That scares me, Dave, when I hear that. What is the basis of your suit?
He filed a complaint in the state court, and I immediately sent him a demand for validation and also sent it into the court, and he never responded to nothing, never. And I have a witness that can also witness the same thing. He never responded. Even in face-to-face meetings, even in court hearings that we had, he would never respond. The only thing he would say was it's not paid. He never paid it. That's it. And I would bring up that, you know, he's already agreed because he stayed silent that it's not valid. I said he's violated.
He didn't agree to anything. So, yeah. Get that out of your mind. Just because he didn't respond doesn't mean he agrees, okay?
Right. But I told him, I said he's in violation of the Fair Debt Collection Act because he has not responded. He hasn't provided the validation of the debt.
See, that is not a violation of the FDCPA. That's what I was afraid of.
Well, because I told him that he was continuing collection activities without providing the validation.
A lawsuit is not considered collection activity.
Okay.
So what other collection activity has he continued?
He proceeded to obtain a judgment, and he went forward with garnishment of my check. And
the garnishment is, but see, the problem is once they have a judgment, I don't know how he got the judgment, but once they have the judgment, getting the garnishment is pretty easy.
Uh-huh.
That's a big article that was in the Huffington Post today. So now you got to get the judgment reversed. That should have been appealed.
I tried to get it reversed, and nothing ever worked. It didn't matter what I said, what I tried, nothing.
Did you appeal it?
No, I didn't know how to do it, and I was at a loss of what to do or even how to go about it.
Yeah, I understand.
I did object to everything, you know, and tried to go that route the best I could, but it never got me nowhere.
Did you ever receive any Dunning letters from him before he filed suit against you?
No.
You never knew anything about it until you got served with a lawsuit?
Correct.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that are wrong on both sides here, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the judges are going to side with the other guy because the judgment's already there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunate, but you can't, you know, staying ahead of the curve is the game. That's the name of that game. You got to stay ahead of that curve. And I know you didn't know. You just didn't know. And it happens to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
I tried. Like I said, I didn't know about your site at the time. I knew some basic things, but that's about it. But how to, you know, exactly what to do, I just did the best that I could. And,
correct.
You know,
correct.
would try to get him to basically just respond in anything, and he just wouldn't do it.
No. And see, that back then is when you should have sued him, you know, right then and there, back then.
Right.
Not after.
And I realize
problem.
That now.
Yeah, once you
I
have a judgment,
that.
I'm telling you, you know, Richard Cornforth and Jeff have a ton of information on the voiding out these judgments.
Uh-huh.
But the question remains is show me how many you've successfully voided. Then we can talk. And
right.
I'm not taking anything out of Richard. He's probably the smartest legal brain out there. But it sounds great, but good luck. Good luck.
Right.
You know, and I know Richard personally. I've told him that. Good luck, because you're not going to get it. No judge must overdo what another
I've
judge
helped
did.
A couple people with it that have gotten it, but you have to have a good reason for it, and you have to do it in a reasonable period of time.
Yeah.
And
well,
you
it's
have
very, very
to,
hard.
You
know
have
that,
to know what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
It's very hard
just
to
like
get.
Anything
no
else.
Judge likes to overturn another judge. It has to be so blatant that, you know. Yeah, that's exactly the problem.
And he also said, too, that somehow or another, the court costs they did not take out when they garnished the check, they didn't take out enough to cover all the court costs because he basically filled the thing out wrong and didn't add all of the court costs.
Sounds like his problem, doesn't it?
I would say so, but...
Not your problem.
The clerk actually called the office at work and wanted them to take more out, but she refused to do so and said, I can't do that. But
that's right. The clerk of the court did that?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Was she attempting to talk to that?
Court right there.
Yes.
Where do you live, man?
In Galleon, Ohio.
Really? Hey, Larry, are you there?
This happened in Richland County.
Where's Larry? Sure did.
You muted him out. I'm going to go back.
Yeah, there you go. I unmuted you. Larry, are you there, buddy?
I am. I've been asked to unmute me.
Yeah. Wouldn't you sue that damn clerk of the court? I would sue her.
I don't know if you can make a case collector, no matter, you know, what she does. That's the problem. You know,
yeah,
no judge is going to buy that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've tried to go do things against the clerk themselves for things that they've done and refusing to file certain things or not wanting to do things and, you know, try to complain about it. It don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
They just
I don't know what to do.
Everything.
That's a good – yeah. I really don't know. Once you have a judgment, man, it's almost hard to do anything.
Yeah, that's difficult to do there. Well, you know, you ran into a bad situation. Unfortunately, you know, you didn't have all the information you needed when you were dealing with the state court case, and therefore you got behind the eight ball and got the judgment there, and then that was pretty easy for them to deal with on the other end of things with your federal suit. For them to just knock you out there. But, well, here again, this is one of those things. I hope everybody can see how important it is for you to get busy and learn this stuff, especially if you think there's any possibility that you may end up being sued over something. I mean, you know, if you went through and defaulted on things in the past, maybe you're not being bothered now. But you never know when something like that might pop up and bite you in the butt. And you don't want to have that deer in the headlights look. You need to be proactive and get ahead of the curve and learn this stuff so that you're ready to rock and roll and go after them the moment they take any action against you.
That's totally correct. But at the time, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know where to go.
We understand that. Listen, we understand it happens to a lot of people, but preferably, Dave, you want to go after them before they ever get after you. You know, you don't want to wait. So that's preferably
that's
the goal.
Yeah. My whole point there being, obviously, get out here and study. Don't be a sitting duck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, unfortunately, I don't see much of anything we could do for you on your deal there. I don't even have a suggestion, you know, knowing more of the circumstances now, but... Go ahead. What were you going to say?
We got to
keep rolling here.
Right. I got pretty much that's just that I'll have to talk that one up as a learning experience. But I would have one question that how might you respond to an attorney that would say that the original debt is not a consumer debt?
Well, how about you prove it? Talk is cheap, isn't it?
True. I had another case that before I knew about the site, that an attorney that they actually do the FDCPA suit, tried to go after somebody, a debt collector, and he said the problem they're having is that the original debt isn't a consumer debt.
So it depends on what it is.
He said for ones like parking tickets and IRS type issues aren't consumer debt.
That isn't consumer debt. Yeah, but that's not a consumer debt. He's right.
Right.
Okay. This
See,
one.
You keep lumping everything together by saying the attorney says it's not a consumer debt, but what is it that he's referring to? If you don't delineate, you yourself are never going to learn. You have to delineate
right.
the debt.
Well, this was for the actual debt came from commission alleged that and tried to say I had to pay $100 some kind of a forfeiture for not wearing a seatbelt in a commercial vehicle. So I questioned it, you know, and for denial of due process and a few other things, and they sent it to a collection agency. And it went back and forth to several different collection agencies and the Collection Enforcement Division of the Attorney General's Office. And that's the one that he's trying to do against a private type of debt collector. But he said they're running into a problem because that original debt isn't a consumer debt.
And yeah, I wouldn't see that as a consumer debt, yeah.
Yeah, it's not something you incurred for personal or household purposes.
Yeah, it's not
right.
a consumer debt.
So you got to look at the
okay.
definition of consumer debt, and that doesn't fall
right.
into it. So
right.
they're right. That's why they're having trouble dealing with them.
Okay. All right.
Yep. You got to understand the terminology of all this stuff when you're dealing with it. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. We got to keep
That's
moving here. We got a bunch of people online tonight, so we got to rock and roll. Glad we
right,
could get you in. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Let's go to 407. You have been unmuted. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have a situation block. I'm unable
you
to
have
find
what?
It. A HELOC, a home equity line of credit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been scouring your website. I've listened to all the mortgage stuff because I've got a mortgage situation I'm dealing with too, and it's been extremely helpful. I really appreciate the site and all the information that you give, but I can't find anything on HELOCs. Do you have any advice? Because I listen as
much
as I can.
A HELOC would be no different than a credit card.
Okay, because I sent them a qualified written request, and they wrote me back and said,
doesn't apply, yeah.
The,
yeah.
We know what to send because maybe if you did a show on HELOCs, that would help. Because I know you were talking on the foreclosure bash. I listened to it all the way through. You were talking on the foreclosure bash about it needed to have the mortgage note and the security instrument together.
Yeah, and it has to actually be put in as a second mortgage to qualify. There is such thing as a second mortgage type of HELOC. But if you think about it, the HELOC in its just basic form, it's nothing but a revolving credit line that's open for 20 years or whatever, and they can remove it or reduce it or cancel it out, no different than they can a credit card. It's just an open charge account. Now, there are some that put a lien on the home. Once they do that, now they got a different issue.
As far as I know, they're just doing a collection as of now. They had a lien on
yeah.
the home because it's worth anything.
I'm only hearing every other
yeah.
word you're saying.
Yeah, your phone
oh.
is breaking up badly.
Oh, great. Yeah, so is there any way that you can do a show on that or anything like that to like bring me up to speed
well, like
on the terminology
you have to
with
treat
that?
Them as a, yeah, you have to treat it as a credit card. There's nothing special about a HELOC. You just have to treat it
yeah,
as a credit card because that's really what it is.
Yeah, but you said the mortgage, the note, and the security instrument have to be together, and that's something that
in order to collect on them. Yeah,
in
no
order
difference
to collect
than a credit
on
card. It. Yeah, well, listen, no different than a credit card unless they come in and they say, listen, we're going to sue you on a what they call a open account. Oh, what the hell's the term I'm looking for, Dave? I'm having a brain fart.
In RAM. Stated.
No, not in RAM. Account stated. And that's what they'll do with your HELOC. That's what they did to me on the HELOC. They still lost. It doesn't matter. But the point is that they come in. If they come in with a credit card and they got the actual statements and they have the actual contract that you signed with them, the user agreement,
yeah, but,
then they're going to sue you on
yeah,
the contract.
They got bought out by Wells Fargo.
What's
it's
that matter?
Got bought
Again,
out by
you're
Wells
not listening
Fargo,
to
so
what
I didn't
I'm
even
saying.
Have a contract with them. I didn't even have a contract with them.
Yeah, but they got bought out, and if they can have the assignment, there you go. No different than mine. Century Bank went out of business. FDIC took it over and sold it to Iberia Bank. Iberia Bank had a judgment on me.
Well, right, but
that stuff happens all the time.
If you could do a show on HELOC, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, it's not that easy to just put a show together. It's, you know, I mean,
yeah,
let me just do it. I got 5 minutes tomorrow to do it. You know, I'm saying is treat it like a credit card. If you just listen to that and look at it as a credit card, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I have.
That's why we've never done anything special, because it is an open-ended charge account. That's what it is.
Yeah, but it doesn't talk about the note and the mortgage and the security instruments. I really don't know what I'm doing. That's my problem.
Oh, okay. Well, when you sign a HELOC, no different than a credit card. I'm just jumping in relation. You sign the member agreement. You sign the mortgage, the note, and the security instrument together in a HELOC. That is the HELOC. It's all three of those, no different than your credit card agreement, your member agreement. That's it. That's what makes the agreement. So those three pieces have to be together, and it says so within your HELOC. Have you read the actual security instrument? Word for word, all the way through.
They didn't send the security instrument. The security
instrument. You should have a copy of it. You should have a copy of it in your closing package. Well, you don't have a closing package?
I did. I don't know what I did, but that was like 10 years ago.
Well, I know, but you got to keep that stuff. That's part of the problem that everybody loses.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be in the situation now. So, yeah, I don't have
you
got to
ask them for it.
They keep sending me the note, and they keep sending me the mortgage, but I need that security instrument to read it.
Yeah, the security instrument's very, very – what do they tell you? What are they doing? I don't get it. What are they telling you?
Well, they're saying, well, number one, they said didn't qualify for the qualified written request. And then they're saying my qualified written request basically they just sent me, you know, just the mortgage and the note and all of the receipts, all of the payments that I made. From the inception.
Yeah. They sent you a list of the payments, but there's no proof of payment. Yeah, that's nothing but hearsay crap. Right, Jeff? Yeah, that's all right, I'm going to have to get a hold of
that security agreement. I read the mortgage.
They don't have
note.
It. They just don't have it. They just don't have it. I'm telling you they don't have it. I can tell already.
Okay. Yeah, but what do I do with that information?
Yeah. Well, I guess the question I have for you is, are they coming after you?
Yeah.
They're suing you?
Yes. I keep blocking them in court, but at some point it's
Well, what you need to do, if it's not the original creditor, right?
No.
Did they take it? They took it. Did they take it while it was under default or no?
I think I defaulted just after they took it. I think I made a couple payments, is what the paperwork is saying here.
Well, the reason I say that is you really, really need to take a look at when exactly it was that you made the first payment to them. You got to be able to look at your they might be able to reveal it to you on their payment history. Because remember,
it's in the package that they sent me.
Yeah. Look at that very carefully and try to find somehow, I know it's been a while, but see if you can't find like a bank statement or a canceled check or something. Because if your payment's due by the 10th of every month and you don't send it in until the 12th, you're technically in default.
Right.
Okay? So they could be held a debt collector if you can prove that.
If they took it while it was in default.
Yeah. So you, of course, it all has to do with records, and then your either lack of or in favor of keeping those records.
And are you still receiving statements?
Yeah, and are you still receiving? That's the next thing I was going
to
say.
No, I'm not receiving statements anymore.
Well, they're supposed to send them to you with the changes in the law that went into effect starting January 1st. They started sending statements out to people again, and it'll say right on there, we are a debt collector, and this is an attempt to collect a debt. If it's a third party that's doing it, it's not an original creditor, and it's never an original creditor because everything's been securitized. But Jesse's right. It's just like a credit card now, because the HELOC is an equity line or an open-ended credit plan, which is a credit card, like a credit card. And if you can show the security interest is separate, the mortgage is separate from the note, if they're bifurcated, then they really don't have a lien on the property.
Right. They're not coming after the property. They're just coming after garnished wages.
Well, they can't garnish wages unless they've already gotten a judgment against you.
Well, they're coming after the amount. They're not coming after the property.
Did they get a judgment against you already?
No, not yet, no.
Well, they can't do garnishment until they get a judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I got to figure out this thing out and how to
do you
deal
have
with
any,
it.
Do you have any communications from the attorney that's suing you on paper other than court filings?
No.
He didn't send you a letter, you know, notifying you that you're going to get sued if you don't pay up?
No. Well, they did the acceleration, but it wasn't from the original lender. It was from the new lender or the new owner.
And have you sent them have you sent them a debt validation letter?
Yeah, I thought that's what the QWR was.
QWR and debt validation letter, it's two completely different things. Debt validation letter falls under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it's asking them to validate the debt. The QWR is a qualified written request under RESPA and TILA asking for information that you have questions about relating to your account. So they're two separate things. And if it was me, I would have sent everyone a debt validation letter already, including the attorney.
Right, I've already put in the notices of dispute into the court case.
No, but I still mail them to everyone, certified return receipt. So they've sent one, just nothing else, set them up later for suing them.
Okay, so that's what the debt validation letter would be?
Yeah, that basically says, you know, greetings, I dispute the debt and demand validation thereof under the Fair Credit.
I did debt send collection them practice the dispute letter that's on your that's on your site. It's the dispute letter and the debt validation letter, the same thing?
Yeah, dispute and debt. There's like three different ones, so the simplest one usually works.
Yeah, I sent them the dispute letter.
And did they respond?
They responded with this packet that I got. I sent
and
them, but they did, John. The dispute, they sent them all the payment history. That's what they did.
Yeah, but they didn't validate the debt.
No, nope. They just sent them all the payment history.
So they mailed you something, and it's not validation. That was a communication, so you've got a federal lawsuit.
How much is that for, just if you don't mind sharing? Okay. And it's not the original, so they probably paid, you know, $2,000, $4,000 for it. I would probably sue them in federal court myself.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, but again, I'm just like... I'm getting the mortgage stuff. I'm really beginning to understand it. I'm really getting into the different laws and looking them up online, actually reading the whole laws, not just the sections that you put up there. My brain kind of goes into a funk when I read that stuff, so I appreciate you going into that stuff and kind of explaining it as you do, because it starts to make more sense when you explain it, okay, this means this and this means this. So that's kind of the problem I'm having with this, with the mortgage. I'm really kind of getting it. I'm able to formulate.
How long have you been studying in the website?
A month.
Okay.
Month and a half.
You're okay. Well,
yeah.
you're you're real new then, obviously, and
yeah.
we can understand why, you know, it's a little bit of a puzzle at first. Keep after it. The more you study, the more time you spend on it, and the more of these calls that you listen to, the more clear it will become for you. It just takes time. You're not going to learn everything in 30 days.
Right. On the HELOC, they did a modified their complaint.
Yeah.
Because we've been kind of going back and forth. They did a modification of their complaint, and now I got to answer it. So I'm just scrambling, looking for information on how to set that up and set them up to
what state are you in?
I'm Florida.
Well,
oh,
if you're
God,
in,
you get the
listen,
easiest state of all.
Listen, if you are in Florida, all you really have to do, if they've put in a new complaint, a new complaint stands there, you get to answer it, you can put in a motion to dismiss.
Yes,
a dispute, a motion to dismiss. End of story. If you go to the last...
John, relax. You already answered the question. He never said he was in Florida. Go to the website, go to the pleading section, go to Florida and go look at 559-715. Just go look at that right now while you're on this call.
Well, 559-715 deals with notices of...
What? Can you please repeat? What does it deal with?
Yeah.
There's your answer, sir.
Yeah.
John, you already asked them. Did they notify you? You said no.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
There's your answer. Motion to dismiss, noncompliant. You got all the case history there. Have a good night.
And when you go into the form under the Florida section, there's a bunch of case rulings in Florida where cases have been thrown out for 559-715 because they failed
to...
Yeah,
it's in there. Yeah.
Yep.
It's all there.
It's all there. It's all there. You need to focus in
Florida.
Like a laser on that.
Yeah. You said Florida. I'm like, there's your answer, John.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I think that he might have dropped off there. I think his phone probably went puts on him. Anyway, we got to move in here, guys. Yeah. All right. We're going to go to 765. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Yeah, I have a few questions to ask you. Have you ever heard of a CPN?
Certified, I don't know. I'm just going to make something up.
It's not familiar to me.
The reason I ask is because I get these emails, and it says it's a, what it is some type of a number that they use, a private number in place of your Social Security number.
Okay, can you get off your speakerphone and talk to us on the phone, please?
Yeah, I'm
thank
off
you.
Of it.
Okay, thank you. We can hear you better.
Okay, it's supposed to be like a citizen's private number, something like that. And I've been seeing these emails, and it says, well, the FBI now says that they're legal and you can use them. There's certain things you can't use them for, but there's things that you can use them for. And I was just wondering if you had ever heard of them, if they're actually a legitimate number.
Credit profile number is what it is.
It's a what?
Yeah, you can have it. It's a credit profile number.
Okay.
Now I know
exactly
what it is. I did some research on this like years ago.
Well, there's some company, and it says, you know, you can get the number, and I guess you can use that if you've got a bad credit rating or credit report, that you can start using that. And the reason I was wondering is because after all the problems I've had, I've decided, you know, I was thinking about maybe trying that because I need to get a loan, operating loan. It's for farming, and I was wondering if that something like that would work.
Yeah,
I have
no
idea.
I mean, there's definitely I did that years ago for my company, Dave, that's why. But
okay,
you can
well, yeah,
get them.
I mean,
and,
yeah,
and,
I've just never had an experience myself personally.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're actually legit. It is something that
but what you don't want to do is default on them, stuff like that. They are legit. But you got to be very, very, very up and up with it.
Judicious okay. in taking care
yeah,
of business.
Yeah, see, credit profile numbers are given to high-end politicians, judges, stuff like that. That's
oh,
what
so
that's done.
So you mean for criminals?
Yeah,
it's
yeah pretty much. But hey, somebody who gets it. It's a criminal personal identification number, CPN.
Right. Oh, there
so,
you go.
Yeah, the it's just basically to hide or, you know, their identities so nobody goes in hunting them and saying, okay, well, I got Obama's Social Security number. You know what I mean?
Well, he's got several, so I don't make really anything different.
Yeah,
so.
I'd be, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
Kenya,
we could
Kenya
all,
gives them,
like,
too.
We all use his. We'll have to
yeah.
use all,
so,
all of
but
them.
Yeah, you could definitely go for it. You have no problem with that. Go for it.
Okay. And then is there, when you say there's a limitation on the TCPA, 4 years, wouldn't that be from the last phone call that they make? I mean, if they're calling and calling and calling.
The statute of limitations is from, yeah, the statute of limitations is obviously from the very last, first call
okay.
or last call, however you want to deem it.
Okay.
Right, the
okay.
oldest call, period.
Okay, because, I mean, I still get them, like I got one of them probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I thought, well, okay, the limitations would be from the very last call.
Well,
all
no,
right.
actually, your statute of limitations on the first call is going to be 4 years from the date of that call. You
well,
can't lump
still...
them and say that it's all together.
Well, wouldn't that be the last if they're still making a violation?
No, it's going to be because each one, you're going to allege each one is an individual violation. Each one is a
oh, okay.
separate and distinct violation, and you have to think in terms of the statute of limitations on that particular call.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Also, the other question I had was how if you have judgments against you, can you still dispute your credit report? Can you always dispute it no matter what?
Well, of course.
John, I'll leave that one for you. Leave John
yeah,
answer that one.
here's the deal. Now, you know, when the three major credit reporting agencies tend
mm-hmm.
to get judgment information from a company called LexisNexis, which is a third party.
Okay.
And when you dispute a judgment, the credit
mm-hmm.
reporting agency, the only way they can verify it is if they send someone down to your courthouse and pull it and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't going to do that. They aren't going to spend the money on doing that. They can't do it. But you have to go through a process of sending a bunch of letters and threatening them in a certain way that if they don't do this, they're going to be liable, the credit reporting agency. You're going to, you know, more or less let them know you understand the law and you're going to sue them. And they will remove
right.
them. And there
okay.
are several of us who've been successful getting them removed. You know, quite a few people have. So it's no big deal. You just got to do the letters. And I think we're going to get into that on the latter part of Terry's series.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe we are.
But
because,
it's doable.
Well, if so, could you, because what I'm trying to do, like I said, is a operating loan for farming. And if you did a, you know, trying to find loans, would you go ahead and do the a dispute to get it off and then try to do the loans or just try to do a CPN and then?
I know Jesse mentioned about the CPN, but before you go purchase something like that, look on the FTC website and make sure you're dealing with a reputable company because
yeah.
there's, and it
okay.
can be considered, you know, like fraud to make an application with a number. If some companies actually sell like old Social Security numbers, and you don't want to get involved with that, so you have to be careful there. But the first thing you want to do is clean up your credit report.
Okay.
You know? You've got to send in your disputes, and you have to dispute those items. And you're
okay.
a member of the website?
No, I just don't have the money right now. I would, believe me, if I was financially able to.
Well, see if you can maybe partner up with somebody else. You can split the cost in half because with what you're wanting to do, you really need to be a member and get in there and go through that webinar series that Terry is doing about your credit reports. It's extremely
okay.
valuable.
Not
okay.
to mention, if you go to the front of the site, Larry gives them a thing where he shows you how you can make $1,000 quick just disputing and suing over one of the things on your credit report, the credit pulls. And that pays for the membership right there.
The whole year.
You can't believe how much information is in there. When I joined the website a couple of years ago, it just blew me away, and my credit score is up over 700, and I was down in the low fives before.
Okay. All right. And then the last question really is, I've probably listened to you guys for several months now, and I just wonder, how do you keep getting so many different suits, or is this just the same one over and over again?
What happens is the companies, the debt buyers, turn around and sell your file off to someone else and then sell it to someone else. Even when you sue them, and like me personally, I've had the same thing show up with more than one company at the same time. And I'm not the only person in the world that has had that problem. They just, you know, these brokers trade spreadsheets and sell them. And there's some unscrupulous ones, too, that sell them on the side. Even though they're selling them on the big market, they sell bits and pieces off to smaller debt collectors. I mean, the debt buying industry is just incredible, and the amount of stuff they trade in and how these things multiply around. And they go out and they try to get judgments on everyone. And the one thing you can find for free is, Dave, what's the thing called, the FTC report? On the debt buying industry?
The structure and practices of the debt buying industry. It's an FTC report. It was released in January 2013.
It's on our website inside, but you can find it on Google. Yeah.
You find it on Google. If you read that, you look at that, it will open your eyes, and you won't believe what, you know, it's the reason our country is the way it is.
Oh, well, yeah, I kind of believe it. I believe the way it is, like, it kind of goes back to the CPN and who gets them.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's great you're a farmer, because, you know, we need people out there doing stuff like that here that actually grow stuff from scratch in the U.S. But, you know, when you're dealing with getting in debt further, you know, you want to be able to handle the situation. So you really need to kind of clean things up a little bit before you get rolling.
And that's something, too, is that with the, and this was basically the last question, is that I know that, or what I've heard on the inside is that everything, they're hoping everything crashes this year, and if the dollar crashes, then where does that leave people that are in debt?
Yeah, well, we can speculate till the cows come home. You hear a lot of things. Don't count on anything like that. Just address what you have today. You can't sit around and wait for something to come around that might help you. That's not a good strategy.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to 623. You have been unmuted. Go ahead with your question, please. Area code 623. You've been unmuted. We need to have you speak up. Speak or forever hold your peace. You have a question for us? All right. Evidently, they don't. We're going to move on to 786.
Hello?
You've been unmuted. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Hey, good evening to everyone. I called a couple of weeks ago, and I'm calling again to kind of give an update on my situation. I just attended a hearing last Tuesday. I posted the results up on the website, and Jesse gave me some feedback. Basically, the judge ignored everything I said. No matter how well prepared I went in there with cases that were decided already, she said that it didn't matter. She denied my motion to trial jury. Have a jury by
jury trial. Yeah.
Jury trial, yes. I went ahead and asked her based on what, and she just said that pretty much what you said, Jesse, here on your last. I didn't even notice that you had answered me a couple of days ago that there hasn't been a jury trial in foreclosure cases for many years, and there's no reason to believe that there's going to be one. So
no.
Now what you told me is
Florida,
that's
an actual Florida statute. Yeah, that's actually in Florida law and has been forever and ever. Now, if you flip it around on their butts, like I said, then you'll get your jury trial.
Okay, so basically, so I understand you. I'm going to have to sue Fannie Mae in federal court for violations of the FDCPA to get my jury trial.
You got it.
Okay, so where does that leave this suit, the one, you know, for foreclosure? Because like I said, right now we're in the discovery phase. I've sent them my inquiries, and I've sent them a demand or request for production, and also the one on the best evidence rule. I sent them a request for production on that to show me the original, was a wire transfer or cancel check or whatnot.
Right.
They have not come back on that yet. I just got something back the other day saying that they needed more time. So they filed for an extension of time.
Yeah, that's normal. Yeah, the only way to get your jury trial and get to be where you need to be or want to be would be in the federal court, and you sue them for sure, no doubt about it.
Okay, and then in the meantime, the foreclosure case is just on standby until that gets resolved?
Well, no, they can keep moving, but it doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to distract them so bad that they're going to go, oh, God. You know what I mean? They'll probably want to settle if you do the right thing.
Okay.
It's just a lot, man. I mean, think about it. That's a lot. It's a lot on your plate.
It's a lot for me.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I just want to let you guys know, and I'm pretty sure you know this already, you talked about it in previous shows and on the website. It's just frustrating because you go in there, you think you're going very well prepared, and then the judge just turns around and just says, okay, so what? And she does whatever she wants.
Yeah. But see, when those so whats come, if you know you're right, okay, and you have a court reporter there, you're building, I'm assuming you have a court reporter there. I don't see you jumping on that one. Okay.
No,
if I could reach to the phone and slap a knot in your head, I would. You've heard us always say, have your court reporter there. It's worth the $90. If you got to stand out on the curb all week and beg for $90 to get it, do it. You got to have it because you're building your record. And the judges do what they want to do because they know you don't have a court reporter there. But if everything's being documented, they're going to be held accountable later. And they know that. And no judge wants to be appealed.
Okay.
But now how are you going to prove anything?
Okay. So basically I'm just going there without a court reporter. It's not even worth going is what you're saying. It's like...
I wouldn't go. I would never show up in court without a court reporter.
Okay. Lesson learned. I mean, I guess maybe a little too late
but
in the
game. You've always heard us say that.
Yes.
Not
yes,
new. We've always said it.
Okay, the other thing that she ordered there was conciliation. I don't know if you read that on my – I put that up on the results.
Yeah, that's normal too, yeah.
So what do I do with that? What's your suggestion?
Mediation? You go to mediation. What's there to do? You go to mediation.
Okay, and if I don't agree, which I know I'm not going to agree with, whatever.
You don't agree. That's it. End of story. You know, big deal. You go and say whatever. I don't agree.
And whatever you go over in mediation cannot be used at trial or in the case.
Okay. Should I take a court reporter there also to the consideration?
No, you can't. That's mediation.
No.
He just said whatever's done in mediation can't help you in your case. It can't be discussed outside that room.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So no court reporter there. Also, I have a question as far as the notice of dispute that I filed at the beginning when they sued me. I took the notice of dispute and the motion for enlargement of time. I still haven't done anything as far as that one, the notice of dispute.
What are you going to do? You got to wait for them to do it.
Wait for them to do it?
They have to answer
respond.
Your notice of dispute. What do you mean you
like
have to do? You don't have to do anything.
They haven't answered anything on the notice of dispute.
And that surprises you how?
Okay, so I have to call this up for hearing?
No, you sue them butts.
No.
Okay,
yeah, I was going to
so
say
the notice of this
federal
suit.
Lawsuit.
If they're asking, you know, the FDCPA and the FCCPA say immediately that if the debt is disputed, they need to stop all activity of collection. What have they done outside of litigation to collect? Are they mailing you statements? Are they sending you or calling you? Are they asking for money some other way? I mean, what are they doing?
No, they're not doing any of that. They're just going forward with the foreclosure case. I haven't received any calls. I haven't received anything from Fannie Mae or from their attorneys.
Okay.
Well,
so I've just been following the motions, you know, just I submitted my inquiries.
Yeah, you're doing that. Questions. That's right.
23 yeah. questions, request for production. They haven't come back with anything yet. It's been well over 35 days now. But they did file a motion for enlargement of time to be able to answer my inquiries.
Well, get your federal lawsuit ready. Get it going.
Okay.
You don't make yourself a sitting duck.
And okay, aren't they in violation of Dodd-Frank? Because now since January 1st, they're supposed to be sending statements on a monthly basis,
yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
And number two, they're supposed to make regular efforts to reach out to mitigate, to try to settle with you, to do something for refinancing or something. They're supposed to make those efforts. And if they're failing to do that, they're failing to comport with federal law.
Okay. Okay, so all right. So appealing the judge's denial of jury trial, don't even go there. It's not going to work. Don't waste my time.
Not worth
it. Okay, let's scratch that. And just go ahead with the federal lawsuit.
I feel like you got a list and you're just checking things off.
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure I don't forget anything. My last
question. When you do your federal lawsuit, ask for declaratory and injunctive relief. And then once you get that thing rolling, you can go to the judge and see if you can get them to stay the foreclosure. Well,
okay.
There's an issue of material fact for the federal court on the validation of the debt.
Okay, so declaratory and injunction relief.
Injunctive.
Right.
Injunctive, I'm sorry, injunctive.
Yeah.
Relief. Okay. I think I covered everything. All right, guys, thank you very much.
Okay,
all righty, very good.
Okay,
thank you. All right, I think we're going to go to another Florida resident. 305, you
yes,
have been unmuted. Yep.
Hey guys, how you doing? It's Jonathan in Miami.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Jonathan.
Good. I'm here working on a motion to dismiss foreclosure complaint. And I've been going at this for about 3 weeks now. I filed a motion for extension of time so I could get all my ducks in a row. And I'm just wondering.
Sounds good. So far, so good.
Yeah, I found a bunch of stuff in here, but I'm wondering on the motion to dismiss, should I just focus on one thing in particular, like lack of standing or
No, motion to dismiss is not for lack of standing. A motion to dismiss is something within the four corners of the complaint that's wrong. Meaning it's not verified, no assignments attached, the mortgage is missing, the note's not attached, stuff like that.
Okay. I mean, I have a whole laundry list here.
Okay. And it's going to be hard. Is it a verified complaint? That's the easiest one, is it, if it's verified or not.
Yeah, it's verified.
Verified how?
Well, they said it's verified.
No.
<It's>
I mean, verified
complaint.
Is the note attached to it? Is it the original? This is an easy way. It's very easy to go down the laundry list. Is it verified, yes or no?
It says it's verified, but I don't see
how. Okay, so yes it is. Just say yes. It's yes or no. If it's verified, it is. That's it. Okay, remember that.
Right.
Bozo the Clown, drunk in New York City, Central Park, can verify that complaint. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's verified. If somebody slobbered ink on there with their tongue, it's verified. Doesn't matter. That's good enough, okay? The Supreme Court's already said that. So that's verified. Now, does the mortgage match the defendant or the plaintiff?
No.
Is there an assignment to make the connection?
There's an assignment from the original lender after the original lender went out of business, Flick Mortgage Investors. MERS is stating that they are assigning it on behalf of Flick over to Bank of
New
York Mellon.
When was that done?
It was after Flick was actually out of business. I don't know if
that
matters.
When was the assignment done?
The assignment was done in July. It's right here. Assignment was done July 11th, 2011.
Okay. And when was your case was filed?
Case was filed in April of this year.
I did that prior to. And a copy of the notes attached, right?
Yeah, a copy of the notes attached.
So they've covered all their ducks. You're going to have a hard time getting by a motion to dismiss. But you go ahead and file it anyway, just because you're killing time. You got the motion for extension of time, then you file your motion to dismiss and your NOD, and then get ready to answer it. Part of your answer in affirmative defense is the same thing. How can MERS assign something that they have there's no rights that were given to them after Flick went out of business? You know, you got all kinds of defenses there.
Yeah, now on the on the motion to dismiss, do I add everything, just throw everything in there that I would add on my answer?
Yeah, because it's not going to be granted anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. It's not going to be granted. I mean, motions to dismiss are nothing. And that's okay, because you don't want, when you have one and they do a motion to dismiss against you and the court denies your defendant's motion, you're happy, right? So, you know, I mean, why are you mad because they granted it to the plaintiff? You know, that's the way I look at it. But it sounds to me like, I'm always fair about things when I look at it. I always am. I mean, Dave and John, all these guys can tell you. I'm pretty fair about it. So, you know, I know
it's just
got to
see it for what it really is, not
exactly.
The way you'd
it's
like to
game.
See it.
Yeah, it's a game. That's all that is. End of story. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Now, as far
okay,
as the
well, I got to keep things moving here tonight, so we got to get questions and answers and get on to the next people here. We've been taking
one last
too long. We got a lot of people tonight.
The statute of limitations expired in April. So can I argue that on my motion to dismiss?
The statute of limitations for what?
For them to collect. The 5 years expired April 1st, according to their default date.
And when was it the date of last payment or the date of notice of acceleration? Which one?
Notice of acceleration.
Okay, and they served you when?
April 28th, 2009.
They served you in 2009?
2009.
And now you're dealing with the motion to dismiss?
Well, they just filed this. I mean, they had initially filed something back then, and the case got dismissed for lack of prosecution.
Okay, well, that's what I'm asking you. When did they file? All right, so they filed in this April.
They just filed it this April.
Okay, so you can go in for you probably can go in for latches. Wouldn't you agree, Dave?
Yeah,
or John. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You can go in for 5 years statute of limitations on it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you better make sure, and you better have your ducks in a row. And you better have proof attached to your answer or your motion to dismiss.
You know, showing that they brought an action and did not do anything about it, and they could have, but they failed to do so. So they're barred from this action under latches.
Yeah, there's some cases down in your area, actually, in Miami. Look it up on Google. And they won based on latches. So what I would do if I was you, I'd hurry up, get my butt down there today. I think it's Dater Broward. Look it up on Google. Get the name of the case or the case number, run down to that actual court, spend a few hours driving around, go grab all the paperwork you can grab and study up on that real quick, because that can help you. Even better, spend the money. If you can find the attorney who did it, hire that guy. He already knows what he's doing. Because I'm telling you, you're going to be sitting on a free and clear house. It's worth it, a few thousand bucks for the attorney. I'd do
it. Cool.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. If I had to borrow the money, I'd do it.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, man. Damn, you're in good shape.
Alrighty.
Why don't they screw up like that with my stuff? Everything might be damn difficult, man. Holy crap.
Oh, they want to give you the opportunity to show your wares. All right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We got to move on here. We got to go to 606. You like the challenge,
hello,
Jesse. Yep. Good evening.
Yeah.
606.
Yeah, hello, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is Neil in Kentucky.
Hi, Neil.
I just want to thank you. How you doing? I just want to thank you and you and Terry and Jess and the rest of your gang. You guys are doing a terrific job. Good news for me is hopefully by the time Terry has her next presentation, I should be able to join the group and get involved with this more.
Good.
Awesome.
And then thanks again, Terry, for sending me that debt validation letter also. In the interim, though, ladies and gentlemen, I got a call last week, my first time, from a debt collector called Credit Bureau Systems. Didn't say who they were, but they said they were a debt collector. They gave me a 1-800 number with an extension, then they said some sort of a file number. and that was around 8:50 last Friday, and I still got that on my answer machine. My questions are, I didn't say who, what, where, what for, so I guess I'm going to have to call them out, call them back, rather. And
No. They've called you. Have you received anything in the mail? It's been 5 days. If they haven't sent you anything in the mail in 5 days, sue them.
You don't need to call anybody. Oh, I don't. Okay, I thought I had to call them back to make sure everything was correct or not.
No. They left you a message trying to, that's the first communication. They're supposed to send you a letter within 5 days of the first communication. They have failed to do so. You're done. Sue them. That's it.
Yeah, sue them in federal court, I take it.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid, pal.
I'm trying. You guys have so much information on that website.
I know. It's our own fault, right? Yeah.
No wonder people get overwhelmed by it. Say, where the heck am I?
Yeah.
Okay,
So you're done, literally.
Where would I find that information out in the website? Was I able to get it?
That's under just frequently violated FDCPA guidelines. That's all you have to look up and start reading. You'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Does weekends count as part of that 5 days or not?
Yes.
Yes, Sunday excluded, but Saturday is a mail day.
So if I receive something by, say, this Wednesday or Thursday, if I don't receive anything by then, I should be able to go ahead with a lawsuit then.
Absolutely.
All right. See. Something new we learn every time. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. I sure appreciate it. And we'll join the group as fast as I can. I've been trying to save my money here, but like David knows, when you're on SS and all that, it's really
I know. My folks are on it, so I understand.
Thanks again, guys. I'll get off here and let Dave go on to the next one. Bless you all.
All righty. Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to 630. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Sam from Chicago. Hey, guys. Hello, Jesse.
What's going on, Sam?
Hey, Sam.
Jesse
tonight. You missed him last night.
Yes. Jesse, when you got off the call last night, I was the next caller calling for you. And then you got off.
Isn't that the way it always works?
It does. And then I told the guys I was looking for you, so I didn't ask a question. Then I thought about it, jumped back in the queue, because I know the guys probably thought, what are we, chopped liver? You can't ask your question just because Jesse's gone, so I got back in.
Oh,
they beat me up pretty good.
They're not chopped liver. They know that.
And I'm glad they don't. Listen, they gave me great advice, though. Jesse, to bring you up to speed on the question that I had, I'm helping a neighbor who just received, she was foreclosed on in 2010.
Okay.
She answered in 2010, but they did nothing to the case until she got something in the mail last Thursday requesting a motion for substitute plaintiff, motion for summary judgment, and motion to appoint a selling officer. And
you need to do a motion in opposition to the party plaintiff, right? Obviously, in opposition to a premature summary judgment.
Her hearing date is Thursday. She got the communication last Thursday.
Well, when did she get served with all this? These motions, you got to read your rules. Like in Florida, you got to give me 20 days on a summary judgment before hearing. So I have time to respond
here,
to it.
Yeah, the rules say the same thing here. It's actually 21 days here in Illinois.
Okay, well, there's no hearing on that summary judgment next week. There ain't. So you need to do a motion in opposition to the motion for summary judgment, premature summary judgment. For the reason stated there, you know, the rule, don't give this motion was served on such and such a date, you know, and whatever. You know where I'm going. It's pretty easy.
Okay. So don't do the, which I worked on today, don't do a motion for request of 120 days continuance and a I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. That was one of the recommendations that I was working on. And I already heard you beat up on the other guy about a motion to dismiss, so that's just a waste of time, but I did work on that. And,
yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. I have one other quick question. On the motion to substitute party plaintiff, it was a very interesting paragraph in here I wanted to read to you. But I'm going to read the first one and the second one in the body of the motion to substitute party plaintiff. The first one says that at the time of the filing of this case, Mortgage Servicer A, I'm just not using the name, Jesse, I know you
said
that, was the mortgagee and the mortgage being foreclosed herein. All right, statement number two, that subsequent to filing of this case, Mortgage Servicer A assigned its interest in said mortgage to Mortgage Servicer N.A., Mortgage Servicer N.A. as trustee for Asset Holding Trust. So that's pretty typical.
Yeah, but, you know, they assign the interest in the mortgage. What interest do they have in the mortgage? The big question is, what's the interest in the note?
Okay.
So they assigned a mortgage, but did they assign a note?
Okay, no, it does not say anything about the note in this substitute party plaintiff. Not anything indicating any type of
assignment of note. Yeah, so that's something that you should be questioning. You know, I would.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, guys, thanks again. Thanks, Jesse. I'll get on that right away. So
all right, Sam.
So you're saying, do I tell her not to show up for the hearing on
No, you have
that.
To file something. If you don't show up, you lose. You got to file in there saying, listen, this is a motion in opposition.
Okay.
For the reasons stated there, you know, and then you go on, why?
All right, got it.
Yeah, you can't just not show up and not file something.
Oh, no, don't do that. Mm-mm-mm.
Of course not.
That's a good way to be on the wrong end of things.
I got you.
All righty.
All right, very good. Thanks, guys. All righty.
Okay, let's go to 541. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Area code 541, you have been unmuted. We need to have you speak up or forever hold your peace. And they are not speaking up, so they're going to have to hold their peace, and we're going to go to 516.
Oh, good.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jared, Dave, Jesse, Terry, Larry.
How you doing, buddy?
John. Well, I've got some good news if you guys don't mind hearing good news.
Of course.
Okay. I've filed 3 cases and settled 4.
That's
That'll
awesome.
Work.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. I actually joined the group back in July of last year, and I kind of don't really get involved in the calls only because I work midnight and it's very tough for me to, you know, get on the calls regularly. But because of the 3 cases that I've filed and since settled, you know, I figured I should bring this news up and let everybody know what's been going on.
What kind of cases were they, by any chance?
Okay, the first one that I filed was FDCPA and FCRA case back in August of last year. Second one I filed was in September. That was a FDCPA and a TCPA case. And the third one that I filed in December was just a strictly FDCPA case in any event. And the case that I actually didn't even have to file a case was was one for FCRA violations and an FDCPA. Total, $18,500 is what I've gathered. You know.
Nice.
Very
nice. Said that. I've gathered.
Very good.
Like a squirrel, right, for the winter. I've gathered them, yeah.
And you know what? It was actually quite difficult at first because I made so many mistakes, but I don't mind making mistakes because I know that's the best way to learn is to actually learn from your mistakes. So I prefer when I make a mistake, and that way I can, you know, come back and learn how to get out of it, which is what you really need to know how to do is how to get out of these traps they try to set for you.
That's right.
Exactly.
Now,
experience,
yes, you know,
can be a very good teacher if you'll let it.
Yes. And I honestly could have probably held out for more money, but what I wanted to do was basically learn as much as I can from these initial cases and then use that as a foundation to move forward and get much better at my pleadings and my complaints so I can basically I'm looking for quality over quantity. You know, I don't want, if I can make, let's say, X amount of dollars on one case as opposed to filing 3 or 4 or 5 cases, then why not get better at just filing the one case and reading
it? That's right.
You know? So
sounds like you got a good plan.
Okay, so that's what I took from these early cases, and let me tell you, it was very rough because, like I said, filing these two cases, the third case was easy because I've already learned from the previous two cases, but because when I filed the first two cases, they were so close together, I thought it was going to be an easy victory because prior to getting involved with you guys, I actually shut down collectors from calling me and creditors from calling me. The problem was my phone stopped ringing and I stopped getting all these, you know, and I stopped getting all these mails in the mail, right? So I'm like,
you shut all your cash flows. Which
you did. There you go. And then I heard about you guys. So imagine how disgusted I was at myself for turning off the fountain.
I know. I
yeah,
was
well,
there
today,
too.
So yeah,
right.
Dave. So
today, today I was doing a hunt on the internet. Well,
yeah.
Yesterday and today for websites to put my banners up on, right? For
right.
A website, and
okay.
I come across every time I go hunting, stop debt collectors from calling you. Free letter will make the phone stop ringing. I'm thinking, what are these idiots? You know, these are attorneys giving away these letters. I'm like, what? You know, are you kidding me? So I'm going to have banners. My goal is to have banners like, you know, turn those pesky phone calls into cold, hard cash and then have
right.
a copy of my check that's freaking huge there and say, here's the proof, you know.
I wish
yeah.
I could have heard about you guys before I learned what I learned before. But anyway, so what I had to do was go back in my credit report and create this money.
Yeah,
but not bad for, you know, but not bad. I don't think it's bad for, still being able to get some funds of shutting off the spigot, you know, shutting off the spigot or whatever. And like I said, I still have some cases left that I intend on filing between now and the end of the year to capture my 2-year statute of limitations on the FCRA. But I just wanted to say, with you guys and your program, I mean, it's excellent. It is more than well worth the money. Not only that, you know how to stand up for yourself. I have no fear. When I tell you no fear of a debt collector or my phone ringing, I actually pray and hope, please, somebody call me, please.
That's right.
That's
a whole different mindset, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I love
and
it. Please call. I'm the same way.
Yeah. Please call me. I mean, I'm doing things. I'm doing some of Dave's things to try to get things, but it just doesn't happen or whatever. I'm like, man, what an idiot. What an idiot that I was. But anyway, well, you know what?
Well, you know, yeah, my cell phone numbers have appeared on my credit reports, and that's one thing I don't dispute. Leave them there because that's where these idiots get them, and they call me. So I can care less.
Well, then I just learned something just now or whatever. Now I'm going to put them back then.
Yeah, you know, why would you want to get them off there? That's your pipeline, you know?
Oh, God. But anyway, I just wanted to give you that good news or whatever, like I said. And
yeah,
I'm just
awesome.
Waiting.
That is awesome.
I'm gonna,
job,
I'm,
that's great.
I'm going to put the checks up, you know, when I get them, the last two checks when I get up there. But in any event, you guys are doing a great job, and I just
thank
wanted
you.
To spread
thank
the good
you.
News. And I don't participate much. That's because I'm in the background just doing what I'm supposed to do. So there you go.
All
right.
Well, thanks for coming forward and letting us know how you're doing. You're doing great.
All right.
That's right.
All right. No problem.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Right.
All right, guys.
That's
have a good
awesome.
One.
All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
You know, yeah. I just love that. Man, I really do. Okay. Let's go to 407. Now the board jumped there. Come on. 407. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for asking. This is Velva in Apopka, Florida.
I knew that voice.
I keep trying to hide that accent. It's just not working.
It's not going to work on here.
No, we crazy Southerners. What are you going to do?
That's right.
Dave in particular has been helping me with this federal complaint. And it was amended just yesterday. And but one thing in particular that I still question and don't understand is the do not call list damages, the one paragraph
C5.
On the 227 C5. The court had dismissed that section as well. And what they had said was, what this says is that this section does not create a cause of action on behalf of a consumer against a debt collector, that the Section 5 of the statute creates a private right of action for persons who've received more than one telephone call within a 12-month period,
right.
And I received 26. But it says, thus, 227 C5 provides a remedy, but not an independent cause of action. But I don't understand that. That tells me I can't claim damages. How do I handle that? I mean,
that's nonsense. There's a private right of action in there if you cited it properly.
Right. And we are doing that. It just didn't make any sense. And we got to talking about it that possibly. And I assumed a magistrate worked under a judge who saw this and then recommended that it be rejected. But then I heard that possibly, right. And then I heard possibly it was not. It was not an intern, but somebody underneath the magistrate that might have done it.
Law clerk, just a law clerk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Right.
So how do I handle that? I mean.
Well, you filed your amended complaint, right?
Right. Right.
And you included that in it, did you not?
Right, but.
Well, you know, you're anticipating
I'm just expecting that section to get that portion to get rejected again, and I don't understand why they would say
that. Come to it. Yeah.
Well,
don't be negative.
True. I mean. I have spent days reading and reading the TCPA.
Well, but wait a minute. There's one thing that I suggested you do, and I hope you did it, is an exhibit with your complaint. You put a copy of your do not call registration, the email that you got
back. Correct.
Okay. See, you've got that. You didn't have that with the case before. The court can that you were, in fact, on the do not call list, and you got 26 calls.
Right.
And when you get more than one call, there's case law out there that says the first call is then a violation as well.
Right.
Yes,
because remember,
Dave, I'm unfamiliar
with that part
of it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you get more than one call in 12 months, it's a violation. Okay. But now that may think. You may think that, okay, let's say you get 26 calls, that only call number 2 through 26 are violations. No, there's case law out there that states that it goes back and includes the violations start with the first call.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'm going to, while I'm waiting to hear back, I'm going to search that.
Yeah.
Just
don't
be
negative about thinking, no, that they're going to throw it back out. See, you are much
more
specific.
No, yes.
And you got your exhibits in there to support your allegations, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. That's all you need.
All right, Bill. You have a good night, sweetheart.
Okay. Let's go to 281. That's down in Houston or the Houston area.
Yes, Houston, Texas.
Good evening.
Yeah, how's it going, Dave?
Good. How are you?
All right. Good, doing well, thanks. There was a guy on the phone earlier talking about a HELOC, and also dealing with the same issue. Have a HELOC, and there's a deed of trust, and what else? I guess a note included, and I know you guys were saying something about the fact it's like a credit card, but if there's a deed of trust with a power sale in there, doesn't that change it from being like a credit card to more like
a second mortgage? That's what I was saying
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, it's a second.
Exactly what I was saying.
Okay, so it's like it's a second mortgage then.
Yeah,
like
they can foreclose. Yeah.
Right, they can foreclose on it. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm dealing with the original creditor. At least they say that serviced by the same company that was the one that made the loan. What about now? I have probably about I don't know maybe somewhere between 50 to 100 phone calls
nice.
That they made to the cell phone. TCPA violations.
Okay. And but are they used? Did you give that number out to anybody?
No, I did not. That
okay,
number was not
all
listed
yours.
On the agreement.
Good. It's all your money then, for sure.
Okay. And then what about if I had sent them I'd given them permission to call me, and then when I found out that they were just kind of, the guy was lying to me, I turned around and sent another cease and desist from calling me. And they called me 4 times after that.
That's FDCPA.
Yeah.
Is that FDC? That's what I was thinking. Even though they're original creditor, but if I sent them a cease and desist not to call me anymore on the cell phone, and then
I wouldn't apply the FDCPA. Yeah, I would just go right after the TCPA
yeah.
and be done with it. You
don't
want
to that's right. That's back to the original creditor. You got to be careful of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Original creditor. Now they say that I know they're the original creditor, but what I don't know is whether or not they. I don't know if they, this is back in 2003, I don't know if they are still actually the original creditor or not. I don't know if they sold the HELOC, and I don't know if they even do that with HELOCs, or they just keep those, because, all along I was
making
a
payment. No, they sell them usually.
They usually sell
them?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the only way for me to know for sure whether or not they actually still own the note is to do what? To...
Well, they have it. They're the ones who are filing, correct?
Yes.
So then what are you worried about? They still have it. They're the original. They're filing.
Well, they're not. Well, okay. I just didn't know whether or not if it was a possibility that maybe they had sold it and they just have the servicing rights and they're just servicing the HELOC.
Well, they would have to say that in the complaint.
Okay. 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 And Dave, you were saying even since they're the original creditor, even though I sent them that cease and desist and they called me 4 times after that, there wouldn't be an FDCPA violation because they're original creditor. Is that correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't. No, don't fool with it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
don't
only
go there.
TCPA. Only TCPA.
That's right.
You got a nice chunk there on TCPA. Don't get yourself
huge
in a situation where you can get into trouble. Yeah, go for that. That's clear cut. That's
okay,
my suggestion,
one last question.
Go ahead.
I heard you guys talk a lot about portfolio, but I heard also portfolio have a lot of cases they're trying to push into the, what is it, MDL or something like that?
They take all of their TCPA and push it to MDL. That is correct.
Okay. So then if they're offering some kind of settlement that's, well, I think I had like 13 phone calls. They're trying to sell it for like they bought the debt so they can wipe the debt out, a waiver on the debt, and then pay like $1,500. Is that something that you guys think is acceptable?
That's not my choice. You have to determine whether
all the terms included are
acceptable to you.
Right, I know, but I was just wondering if you're in a situation like that and you have 13 phone calls, would you go along with that, or would you try to give them to bump it up more than the $1,500 that they're offering?
If I were in your shoes and they were telling me about something like that, I'd tell them that's not quite going to work. But that's just me.
Okay. All right. Very well. All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks. Okay, let's go to 253. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Hello, 253. Area code 253. One last time. If you don't talk to us, we're going to move on.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Yep, go
Great.
Ahead.
Yeah, this is
Just
Wayne
barely
up in
got there.
Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Go ahead.
Great. My question is about a mortgage. I've been paying my mortgage all along up until this month. In fact, I made my last payment this last month on time to the original servicer, I believe actually a note holder, that's Everhome Mortgage out of Florida.
Okay.
And they sent back my payment, and now they're claiming that my servicer is now GreenTree.
Okay.
But I have
so
no documentation from anybody. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah. And now I'm getting harassing calls from GreenTree. In fact, they even call my mom, which, of course, I never have lived there for over 30 years. But in fact, they called her, over 12 times, and she told me on the very first call, do not call me ever again here and take my number off your list.
Yeah, wait a minute. It doesn't matter. You're already going down a whole road that's irrelevant, absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Okay. They sent your money back. That
yes,
means
sir.
GreenTree took it now that you're in default. Follow along here closely, John. He sends his payment in. Was the payment late to begin with? Just curious.
No. Nope.
It was on time. You can prove that.
Yes, I use my use my bill pay online with U.S. Bank.
Okay.
And they sent
so
the payment.
Okay, I hear you. So they refused the payment, which in turn put you in default.
Right.
Then GreenTree took it. Now GreenTree's harassing you. I think it's time you sue GreenTree, don't you think, John?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they're a debt collector.
What state are you in?
Washington.
Florida. Oh, you're in Washington. I thought you were Florida for something.
Right. No, Evergreen.
Sorry.
Okay, my original mortgage was CL Mortgage. I was up there about 5 years. They sold my note to Everhome Mortgage out of Florida. And so I've been paying them all this time. And then my last payment was not to be late, I had to have it in their hands by the 16th of the month, and it was on their hands on the 14th, per U.S. Bank's, clarification or confirmation. And then they sent it back to me, and I have a letter.
Did you get a hello, goodbye? What's the change?
Nope.
Yeah, see, you're done, dude. Hey, they're done.
Yeah, and I went online to Everhome just to verify, my account. My account is a zero balance. It's just paid in full.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Well, make sure you print that out.
Yeah. I did that.
Good.
So here, payment
can you say federal lawsuit?
Was 514. My payment number was 516 for $1,200. I always pay $100 more than I supposed to on my mortgage every month.
Right.
And so this is a letter from U.S. Bank to me saying that the U.S. Bank received notification regarding our recent bill pay payment to the above payee, which is Everhome Mortgage. We have taken the following action. This payment was returned by the merchant. We have issued a credit to your checking account as reimbursement for this payment. Please contact the merchant directly to discuss the reason for this return further. I haven't talked to them yet because I was helping my fiance move into her new home this whole last weekend, and I finished last night with her. So I'm starting to get into what's going on with this deal, and I want to get on the phone with you guys tonight about it.
Well, we've already answered your question 5 minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
So,
they're done.
Yeah. You're done. They're
Take a
cooked,
fork
yeah.
in it. They're done.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're no longer raw.
Absolutely.
How's that?
That's right. Yeah, they're done.
Okay, so do I send a debt verification with them? Validation?
Validation. Yeah, I think I would at this point. Wouldn't you, Jesse? John?
Yeah.
No, I would just sue them. We're done.
Well, I mean,
just sue them.
You could,
why would
you could do that, but you sue them.
Reform?
I mean, yeah. I mean, get a lawsuit going.
Right. Okay.
I
wouldn't do anything.
Don't
just
think,
sue them.
Yeah. Don't think that you have to do anything else. You've got a fantastic basis for a lawsuit to pin their ears back big time.
Okay.
So go get them.
Yeah, because
okay.
Everhome was supposed to notify me, right?
Yeah, if there's
who
a transfer.
Who I make my payments to for the transfer.
Right. If there's a transfer, you gotta get the hello and goodbye letters and stuff. But you already told us stuff. You've got your violations.
Right.
Start working on your federal lawsuit.
Federal.
Yeah, they got stupid. I mean, they got real stupid real quick, but... You know, hey, that's
right.
To your advantage, so go get them. Okay?
Yeah, I believe that Everhome doesn't even own my mortgage. I believe Fannie Mae does.
Well,
there,
but you already
again,
got the
I
basis
know
for the suit, so,
yeah,
you know,
we
got to keep moving here. There's no, you know,
sure.
There's no reason to speculate about that. Just get
right.
Your suit going. Okay?
Okay. Guys, I appreciate your help.
All righty. You're welcome.
Fantastic.
Okay. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Boy, that was just clean as a whistle, wasn't it, you guys? I mean, geez.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to
yeah.
Made it, they made it so easy. My God. 805, you have been unmuted. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, guys.
Good
My
evening.
My name's Bob. I'm out in California. I've got a foreclosure issue dealing with. We're a non-judicial state. Just to give you a little... background. It's a MERS loan, securitized, all that. And I defaulted in 2011, and MERS assigned the loan to Bank of New York, a alternative trust, loan trust, securitization trust, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And soon after that, I kind of freaked out, and I went and got a bankruptcy done because I had heard that I also had a HELOC. A lot of guys are talking about HELOCs tonight. And I heard that they could come after you for the HELOC even after they foreclosed. I mean, at this point, I thought they're going to take the house any minute. I didn't know about you guys back then. So we filed for bankruptcy. And then, you know, I found you guys last year, became a member. And while that was happening, Bank of America, who was the servicer at the time, this used to be a Countrywide loan, and Bank of America
uh-huh.
took over, they transferred the servicing rights to a company called Bayview, and they're in Florida, and I got a new account number from them. So by then, I knew you guys, and I sent them a letter of dispute and QRWs and stuff. And they sent back pretty lame packages, copies of stuff I already had. And then really nothing happened for almost the last year until last week. They recorded a notice of default and with election to sell in Ventura County records here. So, and actually, I got to tell you, it wasn't Bayview who recorded it. It was a brand new name called RSM&A Foreclosure Services. So I guess now I'm dealing with a fourth party. And I have an idea of what to do. I should probably send, a validation letter to this new company as well as Bayview. But I also have 90 days before they put my house up for sale. So I just wanted to get some insight from you guys of, you know, do I file for injunction at this point, or do I send the dispute letter and wait for a response and then file for injunction, or what?
You'd have to move for your injunction because nothing's going to slow them down but that.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah. So
have you gotten your various hello goodbye letters on this stuff?
I got a hello goodbye letter from Bayview, but not from this new foreclosure company. And the letter of default is from them. They recorded it as agent for MERS, which I think is weird because MERS already assigned my mortgage to Bank of New York. So once you assign the mortgage, you're not the beneficiary anymore, right?
Correct. You've lost that. That's right.
They don't. The default letter doesn't even mention Bank of New York or the trust or anything. It's just this new company as agent for MERS.
Yeah. Well, you can't be. So here's the problem with that whole MERS deal, right? If I'm out of business and MERS is left there, right?
Right.
Doesn't anything that I would have assigned or given to MERS disappear with me disappearing off the face of this earth?
I would assume so.
Yeah, I mean, from a legal standpoint, you know, once I make Dave in charge of my business and my business no longer ceases to exist, what exactly is Dave in charge of?
Nada.
Nothing.
See?
Okay.
I'm trying to put this into an easy understanding because, you know, it took me a while to even grasp that. What am I assigning if I lost whatever beneficial interest I might have or could have possibly had?
No, are you talking about MERS assigning originally, or are you talking about RSMA assigning?
MERS does all the assignments. Everything's
okay.
On behalf of MERS, as agent for MERS or for MERS or MERS. I can't go on MERS.
Right.
MERS. It's everything's MERS. So that's
right.
What I'm referring to. You know, once it's assigned and out, then where do you start coming in with, or where does that end, right? Because the business is no longer there.
Right. So
they've
are
lost.
You saying
everything's
that
gone, right? So
you
got to follow the trail.
So I should file for injunction, and that should be one of my main arguments is that.
Yeah, well, how can you be an agent for MERS? MERS is the agent for everybody else.
MERS
right.
All of a sudden, you're the agent for MERS. What happened here?
Right. I get it.
You see? Yeah. So MERS is the forefront crook for everybody else.
Yeah, well, MERS
right,
never
forerunner.
Has any ownership interest in anything. They never have a financial interest in anything.
I totally understand that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
that.
Like on my personal assignment, it was from MERS, and it says for
value received.
All day. For value received, and we were going to depose these people. They dropped my case because it doesn't matter whether I get it now or I get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to depose it. I'm going to ask them exactly what value did MERS receive because MERS can't receive or give any value or any money or anything. So exactly
right.
How did that work? Please let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. They don't have the right to my funds, basically.
In essence,
So do you guys think when I'm writing up my injunction, who are my defendants? I've got so many. I've got the original lender. I've got Countrywide, Bank of America, Bank of New York.
Well,
MERS,
your defendant for your injunction is whoever's trying to foreclose, nobody else. Your defendants as far as any other lawsuits you might have, might include all of the above.
Okay. You're talking about FDCPA lawsuits or anything like
that?
Yeah,
whatever you have. I don't know what you have. So I'm just making a big...
I do have some of those. Here's a good question, too. In the meantime, can I sue for FDCPA violations, or do I need to wait and let the injunction do its work first?
Well, I would do it all. Do the injunction,
yep.
Get that rolling, and then start, you know what I mean? There's no reason to stop one and not do the other. You do one and you keep trucking on the others.
Exactly.
You can
exactly.
Do them all at the same time. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because FDCPA is in federal court. The thing that's intriguing to me is when did Bayview pop up? Was that before or after your default?
they – oh, after, for sure, way after.
Okay, well, Bayview's owned by a hedge fund, and they've got two arms. They've got one that buys defaulted loans, and they've got the other that's the loan servicer slash debt collector. So they've kind of backed off on things a little bit because of the market's changed, but it sounds like they bought your loan and then they dumped it. And how it landed back with MERS.
What do you mean they dumped it?
Well, you know, it's like you buy a junk debt and then you figure it's not worth going through the process to collect on it. We're not going to get enough money out of it. We're going to focus on something else. So they might have returned it back to the previous owner, or, you know, they sold it off again. And how it's coming out of MERS, I don't know. They're just hoping you don't see through all the smokescreen.
That's
but it's
what
all a very good question for FDCPA.
Okay.
Right.
So do you think that maybe Bayview sold the junk loan to this new company, RSMNA Foreclosure Services?
Right,
oh,
and they're trying. Then they're trying to erase the whole question about Bayview, just saying, "Oh, we were assigned it by MERS." BS.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, the dispute letter the default letter does say you can correct this by paying us a bunch of money.
Of course.
And it says care of. care of Bayview. Sorry.
Care of Bayview.
I'm sorry, man.
Care
it's
of Bayview.
Funny.
So Bayview basically is the servicer, and they probably bought it, and they hired the California company to collect because they're in Florida.
Okay. All right. And I guess you guys are awesome. One more question for you, and I'll let somebody else talk. What do you guys think about the bankruptcy? When I look on my credit report, it says that there's a zero balance on this account. And I don't know how that changes the way I go about this. Do I even bring up the bankruptcy, or do just go for what?
That's a good question.
Quick question on the bankruptcy: was it a 13? Was it obviously it wasn't a 7? Did you follow through? Did you dismiss? Did the court dismiss?
It was a 7, and it was it did go through.
Oh, it did go through. Okay, so you did a complete liquidation.
Yes, completely. Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it, Jesse?
I guess I need to call that lawyer, because I thought that only the HELOC was going through, but now I look on the credit report and it's on the original mortgage, the main mortgage is on there with a zero balance, and also all of the statements I got from Bank of America after that happened had this little paragraph that said if this balance is included in a bankruptcy, then this is for information purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they assumed it was part of the bankruptcy, and I'm not sure if it was or not. My credit report says it was.
They usually put that on the statement, and it says, you know, disregarded if it's a bankruptcy and it's not a FDCPA issue.
Right, yeah. Okay. They're covering their butt, just in case.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, does that answer your questions for you? Because it's time for us to wrap up the travel and road show for this evening.
Yeah, I'll let you guys go. I appreciate the help very much.
All right. You're very welcome.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Okay. Everybody, we're just a little after the top of the hour here. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow there is a webinar in the afternoon, and Jesse,
that would be me tomorrow.
You're doing that tomorrow.
Yeah, I do.
You want to give a quick overview?
It's just foreclosure, Q&A foreclosure. So much foreclosure questions that's what we need to concentrate on. Let people just get them out, just like this gentleman, you know.
Yep. All right.
I don't
want to
keep feeding more information. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's on here. You're going to have another shot with Jesse tomorrow afternoon, 3:00 Eastern. And you know, you you have to be a member for that. If you're not signed up as a member, get in there, get her done, so that you get in there and you have access to him for the Q&A. And of course, all of that that he's done for over 3 years is all archived. So take advantage of that. Also, tomorrow night is Terry's call. That starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. That is a independent call. It is on free conferencing. To get on her list and get the information for the call, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Simply say, please put me on the list. Don't wait till tomorrow to do it. Get it done tonight, right away, so that she doesn't get the crunch right before the call, and you may not get the notice. And then, of course, Monday night is Dallas Death Discussion. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern, and that is on TalkShoe. The pin for that is 54318. And next week, we start our sixth year. Last night, we finished 5 years, never missing a Monday night. We're always out here to try and help you guys. So we keep it going. There's lots of support. But for the members, use that forum in the website. That's a resource you got to get information, and it also builds a library of information for all the people that come behind you. And we've got plenty of people coming in behind you. These are all resources for everybody to learn from. So, Jesse, you got any parting words?
No, that's it. Just God bless everybody. Have a great week. We will catch you tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern, open discussion, foreclosure. So get your questions ready. I'll be happy to sit for a couple hours and go with you guys over details, cases, and things. So that's really about it for me. Again, thanks to all moderators.
Right.
We could not do it without you. So thanks a million and one, guys. I appreciate everything you guys do.
All righty, everybody. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.